Okay, back in Ephesians 1 again. And I have to tell you from the outset that I feel kind of like, I believe it was Daniel, said there's no strength left in me after that message this morning. I don't really know why I'm up here or what I'm going to say. If you don't think Jesus is coming soon, you're not paying attention. Anyway, and I thought last week that kind of like Forrest Gump, I thought that last week was all I had to say about this, but the Lord had different ideas talking about the will of God. So we'll finish that up hopefully here tonight. If somebody will go to Philippians 2 and Romans 6, someone else to chapter 6 here in Ephesians, and someone to Colossians 1. And we left off last time talking about the will of God. When Paul declares here in verse 1 that he is an apostle by the will of God, he's really saying that he is a willing and faithful doer of God's specific will for him out of love. That is God's love for him. All right? Now, as full overcomers, or potential full overcomers, we have been, or if we haven't, we will be, given the wonderful gift of the desire to do the will of God. Okay? That's not something that comes natural to the baby.
Amen.
All right? They grow into it. And I want you to understand, and I'm sure you do, this is not a desire to observe or fulfill the Ten Commandments or to, quote, obey the Lord, but rather a divine love of all that He is and wants to do, and it is a gift. Whoever's in Philippians 2, read verse 13.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Okay, so that willing, that want to, comes from God. And notice also in that verse, as we pointed out, I think last time, we're going to see here as we get further into chapter 1, it's the will of his good pleasure.
Yes.
All right? His good pleasure is not necessarily resident in the Ten Commandments. All right? That was a trip back there in the wilderness. Anyway, Romans 6, whoever's there, verse 17.
But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you.
Okay. Now we will find, as we near the end of this epistle, that Paul encourages us to do the will of God from our hearts.
Right.
Whoever's in chapter 6, read verse 6.
Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. From the heart. Most of the time what we do from the heart is stuff we want to do, isn't it? Have you ever heard the phrase, follow your heart? Okay. And in the Greek, those three words, that phrase, from the heart, is in the Greek, it's ek suki. And we've had suki before. It's the Greek word that defines the soul, the animate part of us, the life, the center of desires. But I want to look especially and remind you again about that Greek word ek, which gets translated from or of or out of, and read you a portion again from a Greek dictionary, because I think it's very important to understand the distinction. And if somebody will go to 2 Timothy 2 and hang out there for a moment. This dictionary talks about the word ek, says it's primarily meaning out of, from, of, as spoken of such objects as were before in another. However, apo, which is number 575, of or from, is used of such objects as before were on, by, or with another, but are now separated from it. That is, they are not in it, to which ek corresponds. If something is in something else, then the separation from it is expressed with ek, that is, out of. While if it is near it, on it, or with it, then apo is used. Now, what's the distinction here? Well, in this verse that we just read in 6:6, doing God's will from the heart, okay, that's ek. God's will is part of the heart of the new man. It's not beside it, it's not on it, it's not with it. It is part of the new man. Now, in 2 Timothy 2, whoever's there, read verse 21.
If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
Okay, Paul is speaking there of the sin that lies within the old creation. And he says, if a man purge himself from, that's the word apo, okay, the sin that resides in our bodies, in our flesh, is not in us. It's separate from the new man. Okay? You see the difference?
Yes.
It is in us, but it's not part of us. Like ek, like the doing the will of God from the heart, comes right out of the heart. But the things of the old creation are here, but they're not part of.
No, man.
Okay?
Amen.
They are present, but they're not part of. And that's the difference I want us to notice in these two words. So whenever you see, as much as you can, whenever you see from or of or out of, it might be really beneficial to you to find out whether it's ek or whether it's apo. Ek is number 1537 in the Strong's Greek, and apo, as we said, is number 575. So I want to make that distinction here, that doing the will of God from the heart, it's not something we have to look for within ourselves or dig up or find.
How do you spell ek?
Ek. That doing the will of God from the heart, it comes naturally from Christ in us.
Right.
Okay? It's not something that has to be conjured up. In other words, if it comes from our hearts, it comes just as naturally as Jesus himself does it. Okay? By simply yielding to Christ in us. Whoever's in Colossians 1, read verse 27 for us there. I love that phrase.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay, Christ in us. All right. Now, the result of doing the will of God from the heart versus doing it perhaps out of compulsion or a sense of necessity or a sense of guilt. Do you think there's people that do the will of God? Try obeying the Ten Commandments sometime. But anyway, doing the will of God from the heart, the result of that, as we've heard several times recently, will be to be clothed in the lampros of Revelation 19, 7 and 8. That word lampros, again, is number 2986 in the Strong's Greek. And in Revelation 19, 7 and 8, that lampros is said there to be the righteousness of saints.
Amen.
Okay? The word righteousness is number 1345. It's a noun, and it means the product or result of being justified by God, the rights or claims which one has before God when they become his child by faith in Jesus. Do you know you had rights? Go before the throne and demand your rights.
Amen.
Now, if you find that a little strange or a little far-reaching, you might want to remember that we are accepted as the Beloved. The word is in the King James, but we are accepted as the beloved. You think Jesus has any trouble going before his Father and asking for things? Not in the slightest. Okay? We are accepted as the beloved. Okay? So, this is what this righteousness is. Now, as I've stated before, this word righteousness gets translated as righteous acts in the Revised Version. Now, did I have somebody go to 1 Corinthians 1?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1, someone here to chapter 4 in Ephesians, someone to Colossians 4, and someone to James 2. Now, 1 Corinthians 1, whoever's there, verse 30.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Okay. So 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us that Jesus himself is our righteousness. Amen. So, in the wearing of righteousness or the righteous acts of the saints, we are simply living the fully grown life of Christ in us.
Right.
Okay? It's that simple. It's not something we have to produce or generate or manifest. It's Christ in us. And if we will let him grow up and live out, that's where those lampros clothes are going to come from. And that's why some saints will have lampros, others will not, because they didn't let Christ grow up into the measure of the fullness of the stature that Paul talks about. Okay? Whoever's in chapter 4 here in Ephesians, read verses 13 through 16 for us.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Amen. Okay, Colossians 4, whoever's there, verse 12.
In paraphrase, with one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring, filled with you, delivering prayers, that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Okay, so there again, you're going to have full-grown ones who will have allowed the life of Christ to live out in them to such a degree that poor old John, he's going to get faked out twice, you know? Which one of us do you suppose it's going to be that he comes up and tries to worship? You say, no, John, don't do that, okay? But that's the degree to which Christ is lived out in that company that's wearing that lampros garment. Okay, James 2, whoever's there, if you would read verses 14 through 26.
What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, and faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and have works, shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by faith, by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. and he was called the friend of God. Ye see, then, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works, when she had received the messengers, that had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Okay. And again, realize that, notice what James says here. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show your faith, my faith by my works. The one is not letting Christ live out.
Mm-hmm.
The other is. Remember, go back to the way the Revised Version translates righteousness. Righteous acts of the saints. Things that can be seen. Things that can be demonstrated. Okay, I can stand up here all day and tell you I've got tremendous faith. But if I don't yield to what James is saying here, you're going to know I'm a hypocrite. Okay? It's that simple. And notice that it's interesting, the two examples that James uses here. First of all, when Abraham offered up Isaac, he was acting out what God was going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God had a work to do. Now, the father could sit up there on his throne and wish from eternity past until eternity future for our salvation, right? But if he never took action on it, it never would have happened. Okay? And then he uses Rahab, who put out a scarlet line to rescue somebody. Does that ring any bells? Yeah. Jesus didn't just sit there and say, oh, gee, that's a wonderful plan, Father. He had to do something. There had to be something on his part that was done literally in order for us to be saved, in order for us to have what we have. Now, here you have both the Father and the Son, not just wishing and believing and hoping, actually doing things. And if Christ really lives in us and we're going to let him manifest himself, that stuff is going to flow out. Yeah. You're not going to be able to prevent it unless you don't want to grow up. Okay? It's going to be natural. Okay? So, and again, James says so many interesting things here. He says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Do you remember one or two churches in Revelation where the Lord said, I know that you're alive, in other words, you're born again, but you're dead? Why was that? Because you couldn't have told they were Christians if you lived by them all your life. There was no fruit. They didn't let Christ live out of them. They weren't willing to yield and grow up. Okay? All right. Going on. Now, let's have somebody go to 1 Corinthians 15. Someone to 1 John 3. Someone to Matthew 20. Now, this distinction, or this description rather, of Christ living out of us, being the righteousness of saints, also gives proof of the differing degrees of growth and maturity among believers. Both Paul and John inform us that we, that is believers collectively, shall be like him. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15. Where's there? Read verse 49.
And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Okay? We, believers. We, new creation. Okay? 1 John 3, whoever's there, verse 2.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Okay? We, sons of God, shall be like him when he appears.
Mm-hmm.
Any difficulty with that concept?
No.
Okay? But only Paul makes the distinction of degrees. James, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 42.
But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? thy food. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and the bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption.
Okay. Now, where else do you find that discussed?
No one. Not openly. I mean.
No. There was a revelation given to Paul. Amen. That there were going to be degrees, that some would wear lampros, others would wear a lesser degree. It was Paul that talked about growing up into maturity. Okay? Whoever's in Matthew 20, read verses 20 through 23.
Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with.
Amen.
But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give,
Amen.
But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father.
Wow. Imagine. Even those who were going to suffer like Jesus himself, he didn't have the authority to reward them
Wow.
with what the Father had reserved for us.
Amen.
Let's have somebody go to Romans 8, someone to 2 Timothy 2, and someone to Philippians 3. Next time you're thinking about ranks in the resurrection, or maybe you run into somebody that wants to be frisky about the concept, you remember Jesus had 12 disciples. And you remember at one point he told those 12 disciples, Ye shall be on 12 thrones, mm-hmm. judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. What about the other 70 that he appointed and sent out, Joe?
They didn't get promised thrones.
Where did that leave them? They went out two by two, and if you read the account, he sent them out doing exactly the same thing he was doing, evangelizing and preaching the gospel, healing the sick. But you don't read about them being given thrones.
Hmm.
Maybe a lesser rank there, Joe? Hmm. Okay. So, there's two groups that got different stuff there.
Amen.
Okay. So only the beasts or living ones found in the midst of the throne have this lampros distinction. Whoever's in Romans 8, verse 17.
And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this is just me, but if it was me in my Bible, I would put a little pencil circle around that word and that word if. Okay? And joint heirs, if. Okay? And an if. There's a distinction there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 2 Timothy 2, verses 10 through 13.
Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself.
It's more of those important little words. Did you hear all the ifs in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Philippians 3, whoever's there, verses 8 through 15.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may gain Christ. Mm-hmm. And 13?
Through 15.
Oh, through. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
Okay, now again, what are we going to do with those people, going back to verses 7 and 8? What are we going to do with those believers, I should say, not people, believers, who decide not to count all their earthly gain as loss? There are Christians, this may come as a shock, there are Christians that live that way. Okay? I'll never forget a billboard that was up for a while, right out here on Broadway, and it was put up by a church here locally somewhere, and it said something to the effect of, "Your success is our passion." I don't know, Joe, it just sounded a little suspicious.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, gee, the better off you are, the more you can give to us. Something like that. Anyway, what about believers who decide not to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ? There's not going to be any lampros there. Okay? Because in counting things loss, they are exercising faith. Okay? But then, if you go a little further in the verse, for whom I have suffered. Whoa. God said, oh, really? You're willing to count all things but loss? Watch this. Ting. Okay. We may very well come to that place in God's purposes. And, boy, you want to hear some little kids howl, just listen to some believers when things don't go their way, or they lose their house or their job or their car. Boy. You'd think the world was coming to an end. Okay? So, going on. Let's have somebody go here in chapter 5 in Ephesians. And Michelle in Philippians back to chapter 2. So, the Lamb's wife will be the portion of the church in which... Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27 will be fulfilled because they allowed the Lord to work in them according to the pattern of Philippians 2, 3 through 5. So in Ephesians 5, whoever's there, verses 25 through 27.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Okay, now this was Jesus and his Father's desire for the church. That means all of his children. But the qualifier there is not having spot or wrinkle. What is a spot?
Blemish.
Huh?
A blemish.
A blemish?
Stain.
If anybody's looked real close, I got a little spot right here. I've tried to rub most of it out. Can you see that, Michelle? Yeah, I can. I'm close enough. It's spaghetti sauce. That's a spot. What's a wrinkle?
Something that needs to be brushed
out. Oh, Chrisette, come on. What is a wrinkle? Okay, here's a wrinkle right here.
A fold?
Okay, a fold. A wrinkle is where the cloth, doesn't fit quite right. Uh-huh. It either wasn't cut right, or what it's on isn't fitted to it. Okay, that's a wrinkle. Mm-hmm. Now, Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now, strife is pretty obvious. Okay? That's when I have a bone to pick with you. Okay? What does that do? Makes a stain.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin, I've got rights, buddy. You better watch where you step. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Where's that stain? Right there. Okay?
Yes.
How about vainglory? That's when, hey, you need to notice me. I'm somebody. My brother Hill used to do it. I'm somebody. Okay? Or I'm going to do something, or I'm going to accomplish something, or I'm going to perform something so I get noticed. According to lowliness of mind, you just created a wrinkle because you don't fit the humility. There's cloth sticking up somewhere where it shouldn't be. Okay? So, the Lampros is going to fit perfectly. There won't be any wrinkles. And there will not be any spots. Because, again, it's going to be the fully mature life of Christ coming out in those individuals, in that woman. Okay? Tell you, it's a standard that not only scares me, it makes me tired, but for the fact that I know it's up to him to accomplish it. If it was up to me, I'd just walk out the room and give up right now. Okay.
And it's all Christ. It's all Christ's righteousness, exactly. And revelation. It's his beautiful garment. It's his righteousness.
Exactly. It goes back to the fact there in 1 Corinthians 30. Jesus is our righteousness. Amen. And in order for that to be manifested, okay, the worst acting believer that's ever lived is no more righteous than you are, Hagen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay? But, if we are willing to let Christ grow up in us, if we are willing to let his life manifest itself, then we don't behave like spoiled children. We don't live like this world. We live like he did. How many in here would like to, at the risk of sounding funny, how many in here would like to imitate Jesus? Yeah, I'd like to have a life like that, wouldn't you? Well, it's right there inside of you.
Oh, yes. Amen.
But it's not an imitation. It's a reproduction.
Right.
It's Jesus himself living in us. Right. And as we allow him to do that, Is Jesus living in us, Shirley? Is there any reason for him to think or act or speak any differently than he did when he walked on the earth 2,000 years ago? I mean, has he changed?
No, no, no.
Is his personality changed?
No.
His attitudes, his goals?
No. No.
So if we let him live out in us,
right,
we're going to find ourselves behaving,
right,
speaking,
right,
dare I say, thinking,
right,
like he does. And lo and behold, one of these days, that guy that knew him very well is going to come up and fall at somebody's feet and want to worship. Mm-hmm. Because he can't tell the difference.
Right.
And whoever that is going to have to say, John, no, no, time out, buddy, don't do that.
Right.
Okay? I am your fellow servant. I'm just like you, John. I'm a human. And John's going to say, whoa.
Scott, okay? Can I say this? I'm going to read something. And when it comes to royalty, nobility, it says, Paul said this, this is a great mystery. But he was speaking concerning Christ and the church, you know, when it comes to, you know, the mystery of godliness and the mystery of the ranks and the high calling. That's, and Sister mentioned the word revelation. That's quite a revelation. That's a great mystery.
It is a great mystery.
That's all I'm saying.
Look how many believers, I guess I could call it an innumerable number, couldn't I? How many believers are going to miss it?
That's a great mystery, church.
And it's not because it can't be known.
Right.
All right? It's because they didn't want to know.
That's the word.
Okay? Thanks. So, that being said, I'm going to try again to say that that's everything I have to say about the word. We'll see how long that sticks. But anyway, for tonight, that's all I got to say about that. Okay, moving on. Paul, next here in verse 1, he greets his target audience. And that audience is the faithful saints of the assembly at Ephesus. Now, the name Ephesus, as you probably know, means full purposed or fully purposed. Any saint who is allowing the Holy Ghost to rightly divide the word of truth to them, and the word of truth, of course, for us is Paul's gospel. Any saint that is doing that is by definition a fully purposed and also a faithful one. Because doing that is allowing the Holy Ghost to rightly divide the Word of God, Paul's gospel to us, doing that will make them keenly aware of the inescapable need of the love of God. And also that the only true worship is in spirit and in truth. Okay? Think about what having the scriptures rightly divided encompasses. It encompasses salvation by mm-hmm. faith alone. It encompasses the necessity of being filled with the Holy Ghost according to Acts 2. And everything, you can take every doctrine that Paul presented in his gospel. It encompasses all of that. So you can see that any saint that's allowing the Holy Ghost to teach them is going to take all of this in. And they're going to see the need for the love of God and for the necessity of worshiping in spirit and in truth. If somebody would go to Revelation 2 and read the first 7 verses for us there.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Okay, and put your finger in chapter 17 there, Joe. I think we'll have time to hit it. Now, Jesus rebuked to the Ephesian believers there in Revelation 2, where he says, thou hast left thy first love, is a result of not having followed this pattern of letting the Holy Ghost bring all of the truth to us. Okay? And as our pastor has pointed out, the word left there is number 863 in the Greek. It means to forsake, to let go of, or put away from one's further notice or attention. In other words, to dismiss. And first is number 4413. It means foremost in importance or rank, the best or the choicest. Now, these Ephesian saints, if you read the two or three verses there in chapter 2, they were doing everything that Paul's gospel would have them to do. Read those two verses there again, Joe, if you can.
I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty good description of a full overcomer to me. Doesn't it to you? Okay. But the problem was they had fallen away from that. And because of that, they could no longer be called Ephesian saints, fully purposed ones. They were no longer fully purposed to that thing that God had purposed them to. Okay? Ephesian saints are those who are, as John was informed in Revelation 17:14, called and chosen and faithful. Go ahead, Joe.
These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Okay. Called and chosen and faithful. We've seen that before, and so we won't spend a lot of time on it except for the word faithful. This is not, again, as I know you are aware, this is not a hanging on to God's coattails. Faithful simply means full of faith. In other words, somebody who is willing to believe. Who is going to believe everything that the Holy Ghost brings to them. Okay? Was it Brother Copley one time that got accused of believing too much? How in the ages to come, when God is going to show the riches of His grace, how can you believe too much? Okay? So, they are called, chosen, and faithful, and moreover, they recognize it. Okay? They understand their calling, what they've been called to. They understand that they were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Those are foundational things that we must know and believe if we want to be faithful. If we want to be full of faith, full of belief. Because if we don't understand that we were called in Christ, not in ourselves, if we don't understand that we were chosen before the world was, we have no substance underneath us. Okay? It falls back on us. Yeah. Oh, God picked me because I was such a good guy. Yeah, well, you weren't a good guy 5 minutes ago. Okay? There's nothing underneath us, so we need that foundation of understanding that. Let's have somebody go real quickly back to 1 Corinthians 1, someone to 2 Peter 1, or 2 Timothy 1, and someone to 1 Peter 2, and we'll read those quickly and we'll close for tonight with that. 1 Corinthians 1, again, verse 30.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Okay? God said it.
Abba.
Believe it.
It's so good.
Okay? Amen. That settles it.
Amen. Amen.
All right? It's true. 2 Timothy 1, whoever's there, verse 9.
Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, Amen. For the lawless and disobedient, but ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers.
Okay? God said it. Believe it. That settles it. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter 2, whoever's there, verse 5.
Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
And verses 9 through 10, Darcy.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Which in times past were not a people, but are now people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech ye, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Through 15?
Through 10. Okay. God said it. Believe it. That settles it. Okay? All right. Hope it was a blessing to you. If the Lord tarries, we'll continue on.